Good. Amen. Take your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 13, if you will. Acts chapter 13. And we're working on the call of God. There's a lot of, remember, the book of Acts is the beginning of the Christian church. And now by the time we get here, there's been some years have gone by. You know, there's some years have gone by. Things have settled in. Been here a while. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I've been here for almost 20 years. October will make 20 years already. And, you know, we be honest with you, by now we're kind of settled in. And in a routine, to do what we do and all those kind of things. And they have been growing the Lord, and the years have gone by, and some things are happening. Now, remember, in chapter 12, King Herod decided to persecute the church. Now, King Herod was not a Christian, and he was a politician, and politic means many bloodsuckers, by the way. But anyway, he decided he was going to persecute the church, and so he killed James, the brother of John. James and John and Peter were the inner circle of Jesus. They killed James, and he got a lot of bonus points for that from the people. They were glad to have him out of the way. So he arrested Peter as well, and he was going to have him executed. Of course, you know the story that the night before he was supposed to be executed, the angel came and released Peter and so forth and so on. The church had been praying, and but yet God delivered Peter. And then at the end of that chapter 12, God shows that you reap what you sow. And old Herod, who thought he was God, in fact, the people were calling him God, and he didn't tell them any different. He thought he could play God and decide who lives and who dies. And God said, well, we'll show you who's God and who's not God. And God smote him, and he died of being eaten from the inside out with worms. Yuck. And so but everybody knew what was happening, and so that God got his point across. Now, the last two verses in chapter 12, it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Notice the little word but. In other words, in spite of all the crazy stuff that was going on, in spite of the fact that the whole world seemed to be against them, in spite that James has died, and in spite of the fact that they had Peter in jail, and all those kind of things going on, in spite of all that, God's work still went on. And so then they said, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Of course, John Mark was the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Now, in verse number 1 of chapter 13, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Now, Antioch was up in the Gentile area, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. Of course, that means that's Paul the Apostle, and before he started using the name Paul. And it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away, so they went, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John, or John Mark, to their minister. I'm going to stop right there because the next story here, there's some things in here that we just, that doesn't sound like a very eventful, okay, they traveled up here and they taught, okay? And you could just kind of summarize it, but there's some things in here. Why did God take, I mean, think of all the things that God wants us to know. And he put it in a book. Now, the book is already pretty long. You know, it's about 1,500 pages. But this is the revelation of God to man. Now, God's a pretty smart fellow. I say facetiously. God's a pretty smart fellow. And when he puts something in the book there, it's there because he wants you to see it. Now, the fact is, you see, that's kind of like a little rabbit trail. That's because that's where most of us live, down on a rabbit trail someplace. In fact, there's a lot of times there's little rabbit trails that get us off track, that get us off the path that we're supposed to be going. You know, most of us know that Jesus Christ died and paid for our sins because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most of us know that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, you would think that would be enough. Should we just be happy that we're all saved and going to heaven? But the fact is, we get so used to that, that what we do is we get mad at each other because they don't part the hair the same way you do. You know what I'm saying? They don't see this the way we do. We don't see that. And all of a sudden, we're ready to get at each other's throats over things that by the time when we're in heaven for 30 seconds, isn't going to matter. And so there's things in here that he teaches us. And there's also things that he's going to teach us so that we know how to run the church and how things should be done. Now, believe it or not, the call of God is one of those things that a lot of times kind of shoved aside. We kind of think of the call of God as for the preacher. You know, that's who has the call of God. But listen, God works in the heart, and that's true. And that's going to be the example here. But the fact is, God works in all of our hearts. And we're all the members of the same body fitly joined together to do the work of the Lord. I mean, can the eye say that I'm not an ear, so I'm not worth anything? Or the ear say I'm not the eye, so I'm not worth anything? Or the fact, you know, I mean, you say, well, I'm the head. Well, that's good, but without the body, you're not much good. We need everybody, and one that always gets me is the thumb. Funny little thing, short and stubby. You ever wonder why in the world did God make the rest of the fingers look normal when he puts that thumb there? Did you ever slice your thumb, and then try to button a shirt? You find out how important that stumpy little thumb is. When you realize it's incapacitated and you're trying to live life without that thumb. Listen, God needs thumbs. Be proud that you're a thumb. In fact, you know, look, one of the things that makes us different than most of the rest of the animal kingdom is we have opposable thumbs. So we need the thumb over here on this side all by itself. Well, I'm over here all alone. It's just me doing this job. But we need somebody over there. Because if you don't, but you know that thumb fixes everything. In fact, I can hold it with any of these other fingers as long as I got a thumb. But any other two fingers, I'm not going to lift it up with these two fingers. You find what I'm saying? So there are things that God's trying to tell us. Now, let's have a word of prayer, and we're talking about the call of God. I didn't mean to get off on the sidetrack there, but somebody needed that tonight, I think. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Lord, pray that you teach us some principles in here. I want to be a blessing. Use us for your honor and for your glory. May we take another step in our walk with you, and may our church grow in you, and be ready and prepared to do what you've called us to do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, from last week, there were some things that we learned. And you don't have these on your paper. Well, let me just say, kind of put it back in perspective. One of the things was persecution, times of persecution and tribulation are profitable times in the service of the Lord. You wouldn't think that anything good could happen while they're killing James and putting Peter in jail and all this stuff going on. But the fact is, it wakes up the church, gets them on the knees, gets things moving. And then when God answers the prayer, everybody says, wow, look what God did. You know what? If Peter wasn't in jail, they probably wouldn't have been praying like that. And they wouldn't have seen God deliver Peter like he did. They would have never seen it. God needed it. Now, Barnabas and Saul returned to serve some more. And as they ministered to the Lord, it says there in verse 2 that they prayed and they fasted. They fasted. Why doesn't the Lord impress things upon my heart like he does others? Why isn't he working on me? Listen, there were several things that they did. What they had to say, they had to lead, separate us. Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work. And they knew what was going on. Said, I don't really get that impulse from God. Well, there were some things they were doing. And when I get you, I want you to understand this. One, it says they were ministering. They were servants. It's very important. We talked about that last week. They were servants of God. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. He says, listen, and by the way, so I don't want a sacrifice. He said a living sacrifice. In other words, give up the mess and give yourself to the Lord. Well, that's, I don't know, that's hard. Working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. By the way, do you know he takes care of his servants? They say, well, James died. No, James went to heaven. What he was separated from was not God. What he was separated from was the mess of this world. All the junk that we're going to see that happens there, he didn't have to worry about any of that. He's already in heaven. He didn't lose. He's a winner. They were ministers. Second, it says they fasted. What's fasting? Remember from last week. That means they're more worried about the they're less worried about the physical ones and their physical needs than they were about getting to know God. Fasting is about saying, I don't care about the physical things. What I need is God in my life. I need God in my life. It's not like you're blackmailing God. It's not like you're holding him over with a starvation thing, you know. But you better do what I want you to do or I'm going to starve myself to death. You know, people do that. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is saying, I need, listen, there was times when my wife and I were dating, there was times when I had to skip a meal if I was going to get to see her. Now, I don't like skipping meals. And I've lost a lot of weight here, but you all know that I've never skipped a whole lot of meals. But when I was dating, it was a lot thinner too. But I only weighed 153 the day I got married. Man, I think about that. 153. Those days are long past. But there was days I skipped meals so that I could spend time with her. And it didn't matter to me. I wasn't even hungry because I was going to spend time with the one I love. You realize when God is that important to you, the fasting really isn't the big deal. Oh, man, we're all going to. Now, I understand some people are diabetic, we're on medications or this and that thing, and they shouldn't miss a meal because they keep their glucose level same. And all. I know that, those kind of things. So, in other words, you say, well, then I can never get my prayers answered if that's the way it is. No, the point is this. The things of God are more important than the things of my flesh, the things that please me. In fact, what pleases me would be a relationship with God that's even stronger than it is now. That's what fasting is all about. So what consumes your energies? What consumes your attention? That's what he's talking about there. And these guys were consumed with their walk with God. And because of that, I believe, because of that, in our passage, that's when they said, verse 2. Now notice this is all one sentence. Verse 2 is all one sentence. That means he said it's all in one breath. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When did the Holy Spirit tell them to separate? While they were ministering and fasting. I mean, you see what I'm saying? There's a connection. He didn't stop and say, well, they ministered and fasted, and then they did this and that and everything. And by the way, then on Thursday, God said he's gonna call Paul and Barnabas to be. No. It's all one breath. In other words, they were already in the ministry. Let me give you number one. God calls those who are doing something already. Now you say, well, I'm not doing anything great. Now, he didn't say that. Doing something already is not what you're doing as much as it is your heart. Do you have a servant's heart? Is your desire to propagate the word of God, to help others know the truth, so that others see Christ in you? What is it? Listen, these are people who are already doing something. They were already serving the Lord. Letter A. Don't wait to get a position before you begin serving. There's an awful, I've said this many times. A lot of people want to serve God in the position of advisor. They want to be God's cabinet. They want to be one of those people that tells God, here's probably what you ought to do next.
There's an awful lot of people who pray, and when they pray, what they're doing is not giving themselves to God and trusting Him. They're telling God what He's supposed to be doing. Now, wait a minute. Who's smarter here, you or God? The prayer is begging God, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me understanding. Tell me what you want me to do. Lord, there's some things out of my hands. I'm not sure what to do, but I'm going to put these things in your hands. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to get ahead of you and do some stupid things that's going to cause more problems. Lord, if maybe sometimes it's stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So serve where you can without overstepping your bounds. Now, that's another thing. See, some people say, I've seen people do this over the years. I was in the ministry for 15 to 20 years, depends on whether you want to call it. I was serving for 20 years down there at Open Door in Westminster. I was on staff for 15 years. So I was in a lot of things there for a long time. It had been 20 years. It's going to soon be 40 years that I've been doing this. And over those 40 years, I've seen some people who decide they want to serve, and before long, if you don't watch out, they're pushing everybody else out of the way so they can serve. It's almost like saying, God, see what I'm doing? I'm super server. But you say, I'm not gonna offer. You're gonna think I'm pushing my weight. No. How many times have we stood here from the pulpit and said, we need some folks to do some things like do this? We need some folks to help in here. We need some folks to just sit in children's church and kind of maintain things. We need some folks to ride on a bus and greet the kids. Let them know you're excited to have them with you. Maybe go on Saturday and knock on the door and just check on the kids, make sure they're going to come to church. Because some of those kids, no one checks in on them. A lot of times their parents don't check in on them. But just having somebody who knows their name, who cares about them, comes by and says hi, is a big deal. You say, well, that's serving the Lord. Listen, Jesus is a good shepherd. He leaves the 99 to go find that one that's gone astray. So that one that's gone astray probably was one that was giving him trouble anyway. He finally got out of the fence and off he went. But he goes looking for him. There's things that we can do that aren't necessary. Doesn't take a whole lot of training or anything. There's things we can do. Be willing to do what you need to do. I've often said, Brother Tom Sexton, I know some other preachers who have the same testimony. Brother Tom Sexton, that's Claire Sexton's brother, he got saved. He was already married, had a couple kids, and he was a grown adult. And he just was excited about being saved and having a part in the ministry. So he asked his preacher, what do you want me to do? He says, well, between Sunday school and church, there's a lot of folks going to go to the bathroom. And so I want you to make sure that the men's room is well equipped with paper products. Make sure that all the toilets are flushed. So while everybody's in Sunday school, you go make sure you go back just a little bit ahead of time, flush all the toilets, make sure there's paper products everywhere. And if there's a problem, take care of it. So when they walk in the door, they'll never know. He said, okay, that was his job. Now he's Dr. Tom Sexton, been pastor for years, Gulf Coast Baptist Church, down there in Cape Coral, Florida. Has been all overseas, preaching to people, giving the gospel, teaching them how to win folks to Christ. But he started out, clean the toilets. Be willing to be a servant of the Lord. Now, this isn't on your paper here, but you can mark it in the margin if you want. Servants do not question the master. Why do I have to do? Don't question the master. Servants do not pick and choose their duties. You've heard my story about, when I needed to get a kick in the pants to make sure that I was ready to serve. I needed a heart to serve. God took me way down. Servants are not in it for the recognition. servants are there for the master. Listen, again, I've seen people who they serve the Lord, but then no one said thank you. You know, now if we have this problem, I don't know it because people don't speak up about it. I hope it's because they know the Lord knows. But there's times like we do the Women of the Word Conference. You know how many people it takes, how many different people it takes to do all these things? And all the different people in all the different categories and all these little different teams and, you know, take care of this and take care of that and so forth and so on. And you know what the problem is? Every once in a while, I'll do something stupid like start naming the people. You know, it's not stupid to name everybody if you get everybody. The stupid thing is to start naming everybody and forget a couple. And they start thinking, well, because I don't care. They didn't like what I did. It doesn't make any difference. I've been there. I know what I know. But you know what? When you have a servant's attitude, it has nothing to do with that. I got to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I told you the story years ago down at Open Door. I was the one, we were having a Bible conference, and it was the Tuesday morning preacher fellowship, you know, just like we do here. Tuesday morning preacher fellowship, and of course, I'm running around making sure that the special music's in place, the accompanist's in place, that the sound man's in place. I'm going to lead the singer, do some special music. And I'm taking care of this and that and other thing all the way around, you know. And we got all done. And the pastor says that we're going to go across the street. And there was a horn and horn buffet down there at that time across the street. And he says, now all the preachers that were on the platform, when you go with me, I'll pay for your lunch. And the rest of you, if you want to come, that's fine. We'll be glad to have you. And I thought to myself, when it's all done, he said, all the preachers. See, I wasn't one of the preachers. I wasn't one of them. And I started having a party. And the fact is, they came in and preached a message that they've preached about 15 times. And I'd been there. I came in several hours ahead of time to make sure everything was all in place, put everything in place, did all the dirty work. And then I think he didn't offer to pay my lunch. And so I thought, but you know what? That gone. I mean, the fact is, you know, I was an assistant pastor. I wasn't the pastor. I was not making the money. I mean, I wasn't making hardly any money. And to go out to eat anywhere was a big deal. You know, you go out, you go to Horn and Horn, you pay that. I just spent 25% of my weekly allowance for a food budget, you know, that's the way it was. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to go. So I got out in the parking lot, and there was a preacher boy who was in college, but he happened to be home from college, and he was there. And I said, you're going out, you're going to go over and eat? He says, well, and I shouldn't ask that because I knew what the problem was. He didn't have any money. He's a preacher. He's a seminary student. He knew he's a preacher. And so I said, well, if you come, I'll pay your way. He said, well, okay. And so we went over there. I said, Dad, go on, I'll pay his way. And so I thought, this is crazy. Well, I'm going to get off my pity party and just go ahead and be a blessing. And so I decided to be a blessing. We went over there and we had lunch, had a good old time, and fine. And we went back. And after lunch, I went back to work there in the office and so forth. At the end of the day, I went upstairs to check my mailbox, make sure there wasn't anything in there that I needed we didn't have all the voicemail and stuff that we have now, but so they put little notes in my mailbox, and I went in there and there was an envelope in there. In the envelope was a little piece of paper. It says, Sterling, I forgot you, but here's some money to pay for your lunch, Pastor. And there was enough in there to pay for my lunch and the boys' lunch, and just a little bit more for the tip. Now, all I'm saying is, I got all huffy and had a pity party. And the fact is, if God hadn't paid for it right then, he paid for it right then, so I knew the connection. But the fact is, God's not going to let me starve to death. He's not going to let my family starve to death. He pays his servants very well. Now, they may not come in the form of a paycheck, but he's going to take care of you. We're going to come out the other side. When I first got here, the church couldn't afford to pay me hardly anything. But you know what? I had people showing up my door with a ham or a turkey. They would leave produce on the trunk of my car. I had a wife and four kids to feed. And they made sure that we were kept. I mean, they took care of us. I even ate the Brussels sprouts and the broccoli. Around here, if you're not careful, if you leave your car door open and during the summertime, it's going to have squash in it. And that's the way it works. And God takes care. But you know what? Squash is from God. He takes care of us. Letter B. Don't wait to get a position before you begin learning and training. Now, when I talk about a position, somebody said, well, if somebody would hire me and give me an office and a nice desk and a nice picture behind me, I was one of those pictures of Washington praying, at Valley Forge, with a big fancy frame on there. I just thought that would be cool to have, behind my desk, And when I get the fancy desk, when I get the office, when I've got a secretary, when I've got a position, then I'll start serving the Lord. No, because God calls you when you're serving. He usually calls us from the bathroom toilet. He calls us, I shouldn't make this comparison, from children's church. He calls us from being a helper in the teen department. That's where he calls us from. So don't wait to get a position to start serving. But some people say, well, I'll just wait till I get a position, then I'll start training and learning. And, I don't really need to know my Bible all that much because who am I? One of these days you're going to be dead and you will have missed it because you didn't take time. It's too late to go back and learn now. We don't have time to learn now. You might be surprised if you learn now what God would do later. Learn the Word of God. On-the-job training is good. Listen, you don't stop learning once you're on the job. It's good for continual improvement, but if you can have some training experience before, all the better. What if somebody asked you for the reason for the hope that's within you? Are you ready to give that reason to them, to be able to show them from the Word of God? You say, well, I don't know if I could do that. Do you know what you believe to be saved? Do you? Boy, it's pretty slim. Do you all know what you need to know to be saved? Tell them. Tell them. That's what we need to tell them. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. What's a witness? Somebody who has firsthand information about what they've already seen themselves, experienced themselves. That's what a witness is. He didn't say go out and get anything great. Do what you know. Now, in the meantime, what's the Word of God say you're supposed to do? Go in all the world, preach the gospel of every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things. That's been our Sunday morning messages we've been working on. So you're saved, and you know how to do that. So you're winning folks, Lord. Meantime, you're coming to church and learning the Word of God as much as you can. And who knows what you might need, what you're going to learn. So, well, I know that part. Yeah, but there's somebody who's going to ask you a question. They may not know that part. You will know the answer. You'll know. You can take them to that. Listen, if you're ready to tell, you'll be surprised how many times the Lord will teach you something on Sunday that you're going to use before the next week's over. You can't learn it all 1 week, but I can learn something this week. I've said this before, but it's amazing how many times I've gone in my morning devotions. I said, Lord, give me what I need this morning for me. And sure enough, somebody will walk in my office for counseling, and they got a question. And I'm thinking, I just read this morning. I wouldn't have remembered it, but I just read it this morning. And I go right to it, and boy, I look really smart. But God had told me, he whispered it to me in my heart that morning. Hang on to it. I just simply prayed, give me what I need today. I was going to need that today. Serve wherever the Lord calls you to serve. Letter C, the greater the root, the greater the fruit. The greater the root, the greater the fruit. If you want your ministry, whatever that might be, listen, you might be a church custodian and someone walks in the church looking for something, looking to find a preacher, and it's Saturday afternoon and you're the only one here. I'm not picking on Pat, but that's what I kind of, but I'm not sorry, but I'm picking on you, but I've seen this happen in places. And he's the only one there. And there's a need. Well, are you ready to help them somewhat with a little bit, to give them a little bit of encouragement? Y'all know Wayne and Chris Nelson, right? Remember Wayne? A lot of you haven't seen him well because she's been so sick, and he's not real well himself, but he stays home and watches her. The first time Wayne showed up here, if I remember right, I think it was a Saturday afternoon. And I had come in to put some things together for the choir. We were going to have rehearsal. I had to get the things out for the choir. And Wayne showed up here to walk his dog. That's why he was here. He was here to walk his dog. And I guess he saw me or something, or he needed to use the restroom or something. I don't know what it was. And he knocked on the door. And I was about to, it was right here. This entrance right here. Man, just like it was yesterday. And we got to talking. And I didn't know who this guy was, but we got talking, chatted a little bit here and there, and found out that he had come from Ron Fenwick's church down in Dundalk. And I had met Ron Fenwick years ago. Ron Fenwick passed away in an airplane accident, but I knew Ron for years, and we got to talking, and he knew, and we chatted. Is this another thing? And before long, and you know, they were just kind of looking for a church, didn't know what to do, and just wasn't, it was just kind of didn't have any direction. We chatted and so forth and so on, and he started coming to church, and they've been here ever since. You just never know. Now, the greater the root, the greater the fruit. What I'm saying, if you want your ministry to blossom and enlarge, get your root down deep into the truths of God's Word. The deeper the root, the greater the spread it can sustain. The more we humble ourselves in the soil of God's Word, the more we will develop. So I want to do more than just do toilets. Learn the Word of God. Do it now. Start learning some things. Learn as much as you can. You're not going to learn it all 1 week. But learn. Letter D, watch this. God is not impressed with talent, intelligence, skills, beauty, or financial means. God is not impressed with that because He gave them all to you. You didn't get them. He gave them to you. God is impressed with our true faithfulness. God is impressed with faithfulness and our motivation to do right. God, in other words, He's impressed with a heart that seeks. Listen, God's eyes are looking to and fro across the earth to see who He can show Himself strong on their behalf, whose heart is perfect toward Him. Why did he take the kingdom of Israel away from Saul and give it to David? Because David was a man after God's own heart. David wanted to know God. So letter E, God is impressed with faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know what that means? If you're not faithful, you're not a steward. It's required. Required in stewards to be found faithful. Don't tell me you're a steward of God's means, God's money, God's ministry, if we're not being faithful. If we're being faithful to us, we're a steward of our things. We're not a steward of His things. The steward is one who's trusted to take care of the master's means. Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What did I say? You want a ministry? Start serving. That's who he puts in charge. Somebody who's already serving. Listen, we all have seen, if you've had a job, you've seen folks in the job who, when the boss is around, everything stops. Both boss isn't here, so we're gonna have a party. And then there's somebody, excuse me, they call a brown noser, who when the boss is away is still working. Still doing their job. Everybody gets on their back. What are you doing? You're gonna mess it up for the rest of us. No, you're messing it up for us. The one who serves, even when the boss isn't looking, that's the one that God wants to promote. Because his heart is in the work of the master. Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." For the Lord to be impressed with your faithfulness, you must first be faithfully serving the Lord. Well, he'll be impressed with my faithfulness. Once I get a position, he'll be impressed with it. Faithful in little. Make your ruler over much. Letter F. Now this is interesting. God is the only boss that counts intentions as the deed done. I want you to think about that. We may not come up, in fact, we never do come up to the glory of God. Everything we do, it comes short of perfection. But when God knows our heart, truth, now, don't use the excuse, "Well, God knows my heart." A heart doesn't shrug it off that there's a heart after God. A heart after God does all that they can and thanks God that for allowing us to do our part. Man, look what time it is. I should stop. It's quarter after already. I guess I will. We'll start with the number two next time. The call of God. It may not, you know what, when it said, they said, separate Paul and Barnabas and Saul and have them go. Now, the Holy Spirit said that. It doesn't really say that they heard a voice. See, the Holy Spirit, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, many times it talks about him being a still, small voice. There's that in your heart, you know it's right. Now, be careful that you don't wish. And I've decided I know that it's right. Well, then how do you know? When the Lord makes it clear, you'll know. Not awful? That's not the answer we want to hear. When the Lord really makes it, not sit there and justify it and rationalize and all this kind of stuff. When the Lord lets you know, you're going to know. But that takes surrender. Total surrender. Here I am, Lord, whatever you want. Well, I've been waiting around. He hasn't done anything, so I figured I'm going to. Listen, trust me, try me, prove me, saith the Lord. Now, he says that about money. But really, it's about anything. If what you're doing is not wrong, not sinful, not illegal, immoral, unbiblical, then if God hasn't told you to go someplace else, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Sometimes we get discontented and we think, well, there's got to be something better out here. We start looking around. Oh, that's God's will over there. I see God's will. I like that. God must be God's will over there. I've got preacher friends who did that. things started going, and we're going to get to that later here. I'm getting ahead of myself, but on that paper there that you have in your hand, I have preacher friends who were going along and everything was just fine, and then there was trouble. And things didn't go very well. And these are good men. Don't get me wrong. They're good men. Good men. And it seemed like nothing's going to fix it. But, you know, it wasn't any worse than when King Herod murdered James. Nobody was getting murdered there. So Peter didn't say, well, I think it's God's will that I should get out of town. Again, I'm not trying to be mean here, but I've seen preachers who have things start going bad and it doesn't look like there's any hope. And then they pick up and they move. They go find some other church. And then they turn back. And then before long, they realize I should have stayed where I stayed. I should have stayed where I was. Now, the fact is, God can use us. The where of the will of God is not as important as the what of the will of God. God knows what you're supposed to do. Do it wherever you are, wherever God plants you. But sometimes we pull ourselves up by the roots and plant ourselves someplace else. And God didn't do it. Now watch me. You said, has there ever been time? Now, don't get mad at me here. Has there ever been time when you thought, maybe you shouldn't be here at Lighthouse Baptist Church of Dover. Maybe God's calling you someplace else. No, not that he's called me someplace else that I ever wish he would. I hate to say it, there's been a couple times when I thought, wow, I'm not sure what to do about this. And this is early on. But God taught me something. He said, what did you know about this place when I called you to come here? Because I have no doubt in my mind that I was supposed to be here. I'm sorry, you're stuck with me. You may not like me, but I know I'm supposed to be here. Maybe one of these days, God will take me home or do something. I'll be gone. Can't be here forever. But I'm not planning on going anywhere until he either calls me home or whatever. But right, you know, I'm too messed up to have to retire or something. But he taught me something. He said, I knew what I was calling you to. And when I called you here, I knew that this day that you're struggling with was going to be here. I knew all about it. And I didn't call you just up to this point and knew that you couldn't take care of it and I was going to get rid of you at that point. Because, wait a minute, from the time he called me here to this awful point, it wasn't me who got me through that. It was the Lord who got me through that in the first place. And this thing that I see that looks insurmountable is no more trouble for God than this other thing that I thought I could take care of. And in fact, this thing that I took care of myself probably didn't take care of as well as I should have because I should have let him take care of it. You follow what I'm saying? He knew all about it. And listen, when you're in a ministry someplace and all of a sudden it's going to happen where you just don't agree with somebody, you feel like, well, I don't think they need me. Why am I even here? God knew that when he called you here. What God's doing, maybe he's just trying to get our attention. Maybe he's trying to refine us a little bit. Maybe he's just going to let somebody else take a turn. Because you realize that God's not just working in my life, but he's working everybody else's life too? You realize that? And sometimes I might just have to kind of step aside and let somebody else do something. I might get to go back and do it again, but who knows? I mean, maybe he's gonna step aside, and I'm going to think, well, what? And all of a sudden, he's got another job over here for me to do. I don't know. Well, that's the one I wanted. I tell you, the one you want is the one that God calls you to. That's the one you want. I know we're getting late. My wife graduated from the Peabody Conservatory of Music. She was taught to teach band and orchestra. So she can teach almost everything. Not that she plays all of them well, necessarily, but she can teach almost anything that comes along. And this happened early on. She's a clarinetist. That's what she plays. Now, we were open door. She played first chair at the Peabody Conservatory. That means she was number one while she was at the Peabody Conservatory. She's good. Now, she had to play as much as she, but so she, I hate to say, it's like anything else, there's muscles, she's not as good as she used to be. Boy, I tell you, when we first started dating, she was phenomenal. She should have been on Lawrence Welk. Anyway, she was phenomenal. But there was time, when I directed the choir, there was times in the orchestra when I had three clarinets. I don't need three clarinets. Now, the thing is, those other two clarinets were okay. They played the part. And in the context of the orchestra, it was fine. Nothing really to write home about, but they covered the part. But that was all they could play. So I did what I'm doing right now. I stuck her over in the percussion part. And there she was, the clarinetist, doing suspended cymbal and playing the kettle drums and all this kind of stuff going on. And she said, well, I'm only a so-so kettle, a percussionist, but I'll do what I can. The fact is, it was there on time and did what she needed to do. She was not the best person over there. She was supposed to be playing clarinet. But you know what? We don't have no percussion if she didn't play it. And I got two people to carry the clarinet. And so sometimes in the ministry you're saying, maybe I should be doing that. Yeah, maybe that's the only thing that other person can do. You know what I'm saying? Fact is, you could do several things. Yeah, but then I don't get to do what I want to do. Wait a minute. What is it you want to do? Huh? So I do get to do what I want to do. I get to serve God. Just a different spot than I thought.